Welcome to the Sweat Life podcast, y'all, where you're going to hear what is truly possible in your life when it is set on a healthy foundation of moving your body and fueling your body to be your best self in all areas of life. I'm your host, Samantha Nivens, health life coach who helps busy men and women reach their impossible health goals. With over 10 years experience in the health and fitness industry, a top placing female ultra marathon athlete, and mom of two little dudes. Here's to breaking through your old stories and becoming more relentless every day. Hello, hello, everyone. I hope you guys are having an amazing start to the new year. We are 1 week into 2022. It is January 2022. So I hope you guys are having an amazing start, or whenever you're listening to this, you can start anytime. And this month, I am doing a series on possibility. What is possible in your life? That is what I want to showcase and share with you guys for this entire month of January, and for you to reflect back on if it's way past then when you're listening, to always be able to come to the stories and interviews that I'm going to share here this month. And it won't be the only time, right? All my interviews, I try to inspire you guys and show you what's possible. And so today's episode is featuring yours truly. So I have quite a few stories that many of you have never heard. And I'm going to take us way back when I was just a little girl. You'll kind of understand why I do ultras from hearing this story. So it's super fun, and I also have lessons that I want to share with you guys from this story that I'm going to tell, because it shows you, I want you to take away on how you can apply it once you see what's possible. How can you apply that to your goals, to what you want in life, to take that next step and to really go big, like to think about how what you want really is possible instead of holding on to the limitations and the fears. Okay, so let's dive in. I'm kind of laughing and smiling already, if you can't tell, because this is a trip down memory lane, y'all. I was even reading notes I have this booklet that my mom, I asked her to make for me of like about us growing up and our childhood. And so she wrote this all out. And so I was able to like reference this because I couldn't remember, was I 10? Was I 11? Like how old was I when this happened? So I was just kind of chuckling, reading through it. So let's just dive in. So what I want to share with you guys today is my first endurance event. And that was the MS, multiple sclerosis, 150 bike ride, 150 mile bike ride. And this is an event kind of like, you know, a MS 5K, which I also did one of those. And that's kind of how I found out about the MS 150 bike ride, or like an American Cancer Society run, like you raise money for funds, but you do this challenging event with it, right? So here we go, y'all. So the first time I did this, I was 10 years old. It was 1995. So I, again, got this idea from the local like 5K that we had done and started looking into like what else was there, right? Like that bug had already hit me. And I will say, you guys, my mom put this down in my notes. She, Samantha, she's talking about me, is always trying to improve herself. She is so motivated and driven. This is when I was 10 years old. So it's in my blood a bit. But again, I'm going to share with you the lessons that no matter who you are, that you can use this. So I'm 10 years old. I sign up for this MS 150 bike ride. I sign up. Obviously, I have to do this with my mother. And at that time, so my parents divorced when I was young. So we were, I think we were living with my dad and my mom was down there. But basically, it wasn't like we could just leave my brother at home. I have one older brother. And so it ended up being my brother, me, and my mom, the three of us doing this bike ride, all because of me. They did not necessarily want to do this or would have ever in their life said, let's go do this bike ride. But I was so determined and I was very stubborn and persistent when I was younger. Still am. And so I was just like, I don't care who has to come with me or like you have to come with me to do this. So get on a bike, let's go. And so luckily my mother agreed and she always went along for the ride with all of my craziness. So, and my brother did too, reluctantly, but he did come. And so this is the first time that I did this bike ride, y'all. I'm going to share the story of what turned out and then tell you the second one. So what happened was we went on this bike ride and you guys, we were all on like Shopko bikes. You probably don't even know what Shopko is. That was our department store in our rinky dink little town where I grew up in Wisconsin, and like Kmart basically, you know, or Walmart. That's what kind of bikes we were on. We did not have any kind of special clothes. We had no education on nutrition or training. I think my mom had put in here for this first time around, you know, we were just riding bikes around the neighborhood. Like that's the extent of our training, really. I remember going on maybe like one or two quote unquote longer rides, which might have been, you know, like a few more miles around the neighborhood. I mean, we were active kids, like playing soccer in the summer, but you know, 10 years old, you're not even in like middle school sports yet. So, and my mom was not an athlete by any means. Actually, she was an alcoholic. So like she was drinking most nights, and other than playing with us, there was no additional activities. So here we are, the three of us going to do this bike ride. No training, no special gear, no special tools or education about what we're doing. I was just, it didn't matter to me. I was just like, we're doing this. You guys are coming. Let's go. So, and what the bike ride is, so you ride 75 miles one day, and then the next day you ride another 75 miles for a total of 150 miles. So we do it that year, right? We make it about 50, well, actually maybe a little bit more than that, I guess like 60 miles. And my brother gets heat exhaustion and is like sick, like he's really not doing well. This is so terrible, y'all, because I was so pissed off. I was like, you are ruining my day, my weekend. Get over yourself. I now realize like heat exhaustion is a real thing, but my 10-year-old stubborn ass, like determined self was like, why are we stopping? This is not fair. And of course we had to, like, what is my mom going to do? You know, she has to get him and bring him home and take care of him. And she said that some folks did ride with me for a little bit longer. And she ended up getting the car and getting Jason and then coming to get me like a little bit, like 65 miles was where I stopped. So just so funny that I remember being angry at him. And like, never again, we are not bringing Jason to this again. So did not complete the full thing that year, but made it 65 miles. Okay, fast forward 2 years later in 1997, I wanted to do it again. I think I can even remember honestly from that first time because I was so upset. And like, it wasn't me physically that was like anything going on that I was like, okay, well, we're going to have to do this again. Like that was my thought. I can remember that. So asked my mom, I say asked, that's really being polite because I was very much like, we are going to do this. Like, I want to do this. So let's go. You know, we have to figure this out. You have to come with me. You're my guardian. You're my parent. So we decide to do this. I'm obviously now 12 years old. Same situation, same circumstances. My mom put in the notes, like, we train maybe a little bit more. As far as I had paper routes, I started a paper route when I was 11 years old and then took my brother's paper route when I was 12 years old and had two paper routes. So that was my way to earn some money. And obviously, I did get some exercise doing that because that was basically by foot or by my bike. And so my mom said we did do some bike rides after the paper route. So if you want to call that training, if you guys are on the podcast, you can't see me, but I'm like air quoting right now. Again, same crappy Shopko bikes, like nothing special there, like nothing. And same, you know, no extra special food or nutrition or gear. And then I actually remember too, this is like more side note, but I remember going door to door. I had made this like my own flyer or, you know, sponsor kind of like to get money to raise money for this. I think you had to raise a certain amount to even participate, if I'm remembering right. So I went door to door as a 12-year-old, knocking on all the doors in the neighborhood, asking people to sponsor me, like for $1 a mile or a quarter a mile or whatever. I still have this sheet somewhere. I'm going to try and find it so I can take a picture and post it for this episode. But that's like, that was kind of my mentality, and that I was going to do this. I didn't care if I had to raise money to do it. I didn't care if we were on these crappy bikes. Like, we were going to do this, and we did. So that year, my mom and I, this time only, no brother, we went down and did this MS-150 bike ride. We completed the whole thing. We rode our bike 75 miles that first day. And then we slept in a high school gym. That's where they had, you could like get your own space if you wanted to for sleeping that night. Otherwise, there was this high school gym and you just had a mat on the floor. I don't even remember if we had like a sleeping bag or something, maybe. But basically, you just slept on a mat. Everybody else around you, y'all just slept there. You woke up, they gave you a pancake breakfast. And then we left the next day and did the final 75 miles. And I can remember y'all like being on this bike ride. And actually, I remember the two bikes that we had that year when it was just my mom and I. One was actually like a woman's, whatever they are, 12, 16 speed, whatever you get at like Kmart. It was a woman's bike, i.e., for my mom, right? And then the other one was like a kid's size bike for me, the 12-year-old. And I remember my mom switching with me a couple times because like I was uncomfortable or something. And she rode like my bike. So a testament to my mom. She's amazing. And so there for me and my craziness. But it was, and I remember people like coming up to us and passing us, or when you would stop at like an aid station along the way, right? There was aid stations where you would get food and water, just whatever they had there, you ate. And I remember like people looking at us and being like, oh my, like, look at you two. Like, what are you doing? Like, we were the odd ones out, right? I was like the youngest person. I don't remember seeing any other kids. You know, it was all adults. In fact, a lot of people like quite a bit older. And we were on these like crappy bikes. Like we had no idea what we were doing. But you know what? It didn't matter. We did it. We did the 150 just like everybody else did. And we did it probably on the like quote unquote worst circumstances. I bet you everybody else in that race, in that bike ride that weekend had more than us in every way. But we did it. So now let me get to my lessons in this. I share this because I forget this sometimes that I even did this. And it just really goes to show you, like, what is possible if you really want it, right? And I don't know about you guys, but, and I'll bring that up in this first lesson, which, okay, so number one is believe it's possible, right? That's the first thing. Whatever you want in your life, whatever is up in your head and you are dreaming, I want you to know that it's possible. If a 10 and a 12-year-old little girl can dream up doing a 150 bike ride on crappy ass bikes with no training and no like knowledge about endurance cycling, you can do whatever you want to do. And that could be a physical feat. That could be the losing of the weight. That could be taking some kind of a leap in your career, in a relationship, whatever it is. Like, I want you to really hear and hold off. So the reason that I believed it was possible, one, I want you to like tap in to that little kid like imagination and wonder. Do y'all remember that? Obviously, I had it. But I know, I'm sure all of you guys did. That feeling like you were invincible and that anything really was possible when you were a kid, you were like, yeah, this is just how you do it. This is how it gets done. Or maybe you see that in your own kids, right? Where they're just like, these ideas are just sparking and there's so much imagination and so much possibility and belief. So how can you go back to or think about and bring in some childlike wonder and imagination to bring your dreams to life? I just really want you to consider like opening up your brain like you were a little kid. What does that look like? And the second part of that then is to let go and stop living or thinking about the limitations. That's usually what stops so many of us as adults when we're in this really responsible, you know, adulting, that there's not a lot of room for possibility and belief. There's more room. We like to put these limitations on us now because now our parents have told us, our peers have told us, our colleges have told us, our work. We've got so many environmental factors that are saying, no, you can't do this. Well, that's not possible. Or, you know, this is your life. This is the way it's going to be. Like, there's just so many of these limitations that we put on ourselves when we become adults. So I want you to throw those limitations away, throw them to the wind, and consider that anything really is possible that you want. So that's the first thing. And I do just want to touch on that, like going down that list of like limitations, what I've said to myself and what I've heard is like, okay, because you're too old to do something, or maybe you're too young because you were told not to do this, be told you can't do this, right? Like if there's a lot of shoulds going on or whatever you're saying, like you can't, question, why not? Why not? Is there a way? I bet you for so many things, there are people that have overcome that, right? So I really want you to consider and question yourself on if you really can't do that. Why? Why not? Really dig deep into what that looks like. Okay, second lesson is you can do it on less. So obviously, we did this on the bare bones, what someone would need to finish this event. There's nothing special about what we had. And so many of us today are like, well, I don't have the right gear. I don't have the best gear, or, you know, put up a lot of excuses or a lot of explanations. A lot of the reasons why we can't, we're fighting for why we can't do something instead of finding a way and getting creative on how you can do something and knowing that you can do it on less. You don't need all the things, right? So I just really want to encourage you to like open up your mind to how could you eat healthy on less You don't need to have the shipped fancy meals to your house that are super expensive. You don't need to have organic all the time. You don't need to have even the like four course fancy meal like for you and your kids. We sustained off of cereal and mac and cheese and ramen. I don't know, whatever you can get with food stamps that's super cheap. Junk food. Like we just had a bunch of junk growing up. I'm fine. I eat a lot healthier than that now. But you know what? Again, don't look at what you should do or what everybody else is doing or what the magazines tell you or what, Whole30 tells you. Like, you can do it on less. You can eat healthy within your means and what you have. You can work out within your means and what you have, right? So I just really want you to open your eyes up to see how you could do and reach your goals on less instead of thinking, oh, but I need all of these things to be able to achieve this goal. What's the least amount that you could achieve your goal on? What about that? Think about that. What is the least amount? And then even then, take it down a notch. You can see from my story, we did it on nothing and we did it. So what could you do on less? Okay, number three, pick an ultra goal or an extraordinary goal to work towards. So obviously, this was like, 10, 12 years old, like doing that many miles and some crappy ass bike. How the heck? But because it was such a big goal to me that the little details in that didn't necessarily matter. And it gave me the motivation to go get the sponsorships. It gave me the motivation to get my mom down there and to beg her and to, like, we got to go do this. It was such a big, extraordinary goal that allowed me to have the momentum and the passion to be able to ride those 150 miles on a crappy bike. It's because this goal was so extraordinary or ultra. I like to call it an ultra goal. So, not to say that you don't need to have some little small goals, right, to maybe get you to that big goal, but I want you to have that big vision. Really think about what's the big goal that's going to drive you. Like, if you've been like, yeah, I kind of want to lose 10 pounds or 20 pounds, that'd be nice. That feels like, good. Like, are you excited about that? Does that feel like you're so driven and like that is just so exciting and lights you up every day to go do your workouts and eat healthy? If it's not, I want to encourage you to pick something that's really going to get you out of your comfort zone and light you up. If it's not lighting you up, pick a bigger goal, right? Okay. So, number four. Oh, this one. Okay. So, number four is don't give up on yourself if you don't succeed at first. So, that first time I did it when I was 10 years old, we had to stop, right? But just because we stopped, that didn't mean that I didn't go after it 2 years later. Like I can remember that feeling that I knew I was absolutely going to have to do this again. So, if you haven't hit your weight loss goal and you've been trying at it for years, or you haven't run the marathon yet and it's kind of like sitting on your back shoulder and you're like, oh gosh, I really want to do this or I really should do this. I don't like to do the shoulds, but if you really want to do it because you do, not just because you should do it. But just because you may have failed in the past, and it doesn't matter if you failed for months or for years, that doesn't mean that you cannot succeed in it. So try again. Pick yourself up. Try again. You always have the opportunity to reflect and to learn from what you did and to go at it again. It's still possible for you. So, I just really want to invite you, just because you fail at something, and even if you fail over and over again, that does not mean you cannot succeed and reach your goal. Okay, the last one is create the support you need. So this has to do with the fact that, so I had to enroll my mom to take me there for us to do this race together, because I would have done it alone, but I couldn't. So I had to enroll her support. I had to enroll her support to go on some training rides with me. I don't know how long they were, but no matter how short they were, right? I had to enroll her to get my brother to come along and do this with us that first year. And then the same thing, the second year, I had to enroll her to get that support so that I could do this big feat. So who do you need to talk to? Who's your support system that you need to enroll into your goals? Is it your partner? Is it your kids? Is it work maybe? Is it the gym you go to getting support from other people that are working out with you, or the trainer at that gym, right? Is it a Facebook group? You know, we've got the Sweat Life Facebook group, or is it another, you know, running specific or weightlifting specific group that you need to join to get that support you need? This is all areas of support. Obviously, for this race, the big support for me was enrolling my mom, but I wasn't afraid to speak up. I wasn't afraid to declare what I want, to ask for what I wanted, and to be a little pushy about it, to be quite honest. That's sometimes, that's what you need to do, though. You need to fight for your goals. And you also need to be the one to be the enroller, right? I really wanted to make this distinction and share this because I hear and see so many times where we think that people, one, can like read our minds and know that, especially our partners, and know that like, oh, well, we're working to lose this weight, or we're working to get in shape. And can't you see, like, this is what I'm doing? Or maybe you ask, or you share your goal and you say, hey, I really want to lose this 20 pounds this year, so I want to start eating healthier. And then the conversation drifts off and you never bring it up again, or you're not direct with them and specifically asking for how they can help you, what you need from them. Like, get really clear and specific when you're enrolling people into your vision and into your goals. That is your job. That is not their job, to try and read your mind and to know what they're supposed to do to support you. So I just really want to make that clear and share that, like, enrolling support is huge. I obviously wouldn't have gotten down to that race without enrolling my mom and my brother that year, right? And even when I went to get donations, I had to enroll those people in my vision and what I was going to do, right? And you know what? I can't remember. You guys know me. I'm pretty outgoing down to meet anybody. But I'm sure there was some nervousness or fears to go knock door to door. My mom did not come up to those doors with me. She was parked in the car and I was like, you know, we made a plan. I will go down this end of the block. Meet me at the end of the block. I went by myself. I did have to enroll her to drive me to those neighborhoods and to hang out with me while I did that. But I'm sure there was some fears and nervousness in even talking to these people and asking them for these donations, right? But one, my vision was big. I had an extraordinary goal, an ultra goal, that basically whatever fears allowed me to go up to that door and knock on some stranger's door and ask them for money. And then two, I was able to directly tell my mom what I needed, like what kind of support I needed to get help so I could accomplish this goal. So really be open and direct and consistently always enrolling your team of support with what you need to be able to reach your goal. And enroll them in the vision, not just like this is a thing for me, but like enroll them in the vision of like, this really means a lot to me because I want to have more energy for our family. I want to feel more confident when we go out on our date nights. I want to get some new clothes that I feel sexy in. Or I really want to run this marathon because it means a lot to me to do this before my 40th birthday. And I want to work out with you more and have more energy for you because I am working out and treating myself. Whatever it is, I'm just kind of ranting on that. But enroll them in your vision too. Okay, you guys. So that was my five lessons from this fun story. I wish I had more details that I could remember specifically about the race itself, or about the ride itself, but all I remember is us being on those two crappy bikes and trading bikes at times, and my mom being on my little bike. And I do remember us having fun, though. This wasn't like torture. My mom did put in the notes she was super sore the next day, which I'm sure she was. I don't remember if I was sore or not. And to be honest, I doubt I was, or if I was, the high of like accomplishing this feat, right, is so profound. Like even when like you finish an or when I finished an ultra, it's like, yes, there's typically some pain going on, but there's also this elation and this high of like accomplishing this big feat. And then of course you chase it again. So I hope you guys hear this story and start to consider and think to yourself, what is really possible for you? Truly. Like, can you take away all the limitations and the trash bags and the garbage that has set in your way to see a light, to see what's really possible for you? Okay. I love you guys. I hope you are having an amazing start to this new year and this month. And I will talk to y'all again soon. Hey friends, thank you so much for listening. I hope you got so much value out of that episode. And value can be even just one thought, one new thing. So I want you to consider that when you listen to any episode of mine or any other podcast, book, valuable resource that you have, that it can be one thought. It could be one thing that can change your life, that can open that door to possibility. So I want to offer that. And every episode you listen to, what is that? What's that nugget? At least one that you're going to take away. And I also want to offer, if you are listening to this and you're like, oh, yes, I hear you, Samantha, or my guest, and you're like, I really do want to get to my quote unquote impossible goal. I really do want to lose the weight. I want to run the marathon. I want to run an ultra marathon. I want to have more energy to play with my kids, to go on a beach vacation and feel confident. I like to say that you can walk into any boardroom, bedroom, or beach confident AF. Like if that's what you want and you have not got that result for yourself yet, then this is an answer. I do one-on-one coaching with my clients to create and absolutely guarantee that they will reach that impossible health goal. I want to work with you if you are ready to commit. If you're ready to go all in, which doesn't mean hustle and do a 180, it just means that you're ready to create this result in your life. If your hand is raised and you've tried all the things and nothing has worked, or you are doing the things but you're just not getting the results that you want, then it's time to consider working with a coach. I would be more than honored to work with any of you guys. And how you can book a free consult call is by going to my website at www.samanthanivens.com. Nivens is Nivens. Or you can find me on Instagram at Samantha's Real Life and just DM me, or Facebook Messenger me. Either way, I will get back to you and we can find a time for us to talk more about what you want to get and how I can help you get there. If you are having fun on this podcast and just want to be in more of a community and be surrounded by more like-minded folks and grow together, no matter what, I would invite you to join the private Sweat Life Facebook group. Just search The Sweat Life in Facebook on the groups and you will find our group. It'll pop up. I give all kinds of tips and tools and share podcasts that I listen to personally and all kinds of things that we are cultivating there. And then the other spot you can find me and get some more tips and tools is my new YouTube channel, which is the Ultra Health Hub with Samantha Divins. So if you just search Ultra Health Hub or my name, either one, it should pop up. And I like to give all kinds of fun things that I do in my day-to-day to how I live this healthy lifestyle. So check that out. It's different even than some of the material on the podcast. So all kinds of good stuff. I hope you guys are enjoying this. If you are, you can also leave a review and subscribe to the podcast so I know that you are. And please feel free to reach out anytime and let me know what you want to hear about or guests you want to hear from. And I'd love to hear from you. Thanks, you guys.